Well, it's certainly good for us to be able to assemble together on this Lord's Day to be able to worship God. And I noticed on Facebook that there are a number of folks in a lot of different places that are listening this morning and watching, and we appreciate that so very, very much. So whether you're in your home, you're sitting in your car, or in the auditorium, or sitting on a dirt floor in Africa, we're glad that you're watching. We're glad that you are interested in spiritual things and that you're tuning in to study God's Word, to worship God, to honor God. And we thank you so much for listening. We also are very thankful to God that through these difficult days that we have the technology, we have the ability, the opportunity to be able to use different means by which we are trying our best to be wise medically, socially, but also to be able to worship and to honor God. Today, we're going to be looking at John chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at the story of a woman that's caught in adultery. And we're going to read the first 11 verses of this text. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman called an adultery, and having set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been called an adultery in the very act. Now the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him, in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone and the woman where she had been in the midst. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." Well, as we consider this story, I'd like to go back and just review the highlights of this reading and talk just for a few moments about some things I think are important for us to learn from this story. First of all, we see that Jesus came from the Mount of Olives. And when we stop to consider the context here, Jesus is doing quite a bit of teaching in Jerusalem at this time. But he is spending the night at the Mount of Olives, which is just across the Kidron Valley to the east of Jerusalem. Notice it says that he went up early in the morning into the temple, and he sat down and taught the people. This was the traditional position, that is, sitting, for a rabbi to teach the people in the temple area and in the synagogues. And the scribes and the Pharisees are there, and they brought a woman to Jesus. And they said that she had been caught in the very act of adultery. They asked Jesus if they should stone her to death. They were testing him, the text says, so that they could accuse him. So the Holy Spirit makes it very clear right from the get-go that the scribes and Pharisees, they are not sincere in what they're doing. They're testing him so that they could accuse him. Now, Jesus has he makes a tremendous move here. It's almost as if he ignores them and what they're saying to him, and he stoops down and wrote on the ground. Wouldn't you like to know what he was writing? Wouldn't you like to know what he was writing there on the ground? Well, no one knows except God himself, because we're not told. But we also notice that they kept asking him, or persisting, asking him about this. You can see that that's probably an expression of they were angrily, they were very condescending, you know, kept asking, well, what should we do? What should we do? You tell us. What should we do with this woman? And then he stood up. He stood up and he says, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Now, my guess is all of us have heard that phrase before. And we've used that in a number of circumstances. But Jesus has a very wise answer here to these Jews. And then he stooped again and he starts to write on the ground again. My guess is, I'm just guessing, but my guess is that irritated the Jews to no end. That probably infuriated them. But as they stood there and began thinking about what he really said, and you know that they were listening intently to whatever he said because they were trying to test him, that is to catch him, that they might accuse him. So they were listening to every word. So they heard what he said when he said, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. So they listened. But his words touched their heart. One by one, they began to leave, starting with the oldest. I think that's an interesting observation. The oldest ones left first. Maybe because they're wiser. Maybe because they got it quicker. I don't know. But finally, only Jesus and the woman is left. Jesus straightened up. Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And she responds, no one, Lord. No one. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more. I'm sure all of us have heard or read this story before. This is not a new story. But through the years, I've not heard many speak about this lesson as to its applications and its import. But I want to ask you, as we study through this for the next few moments, did you notice anything odd as we read the story? Did anything kind of pop out to you that seemed a little different, or you questioned, or you were concerned, or you thought, well, what does that mean? So what lessons can we learn from this story? So what I'd like to do, just for a couple of moments here, I'd like to highlight some of these statements that are made and just make some brief comments as to what I think are important for us to see. Well, first of all, in verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus, and she had been caught in the act of adultery. And I think it's important that we ask this question, maybe something odd. Where is the other person who committed adultery with this woman? They only brought the woman. Now, why is that significant? Well, the law required both to be brought, judged, and stoned. If you'll notice in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 10, we see the specific law that would have had to have been considered in the decision about this woman. Leviticus 20 and verse 10 says, if there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, or who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So you notice here, it's very clear that the scribes and the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus. And they wanted to know, according to the law of Moses, we should stone her. So what do you say? Well, I definitely think that Jesus was being tested here, as the text says. But they were presenting to him a very difficult case. And they were looking to see how Jesus would answer this. Well, you'll notice in verses 4 and 5, they asked if they should stone her to death. The law, Moses said, to stone her and her partner. However, notice John 18 and verse 31. In John 18 and verse 31, you remember when Jesus is before Pilate. Pilate therefore said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." So here's an interesting thing to think about in regards to what these Jews have done. They brought a woman who they say has been caught in the very act of adultery. They say to Jesus, according to our law, this woman should be put to death. What do you say? So if Jesus says, go ahead and stone her, then they could come back and say, well, where's the one that she committed adultery with? They could get Jesus in trouble with the Jews. But because the Romans would not allow the Jews to put anybody to death, the Jews were trying to get Jesus in trouble with the Romans. Well, I think it's important that we understand that later on, the Jews used the same tactic. When Jesus was accused and then brought before Roman authorities, it was the Roman authorities that put Jesus to death as a result of the accusations of the Jews. The Jews didn't care anything about this woman. And how do we know that from this story? Well, if you read the story again a time or two, you'll notice how insensitive they seem to be about this woman. They've caught her in the very act of adultery. They put her right in the midst of them. So there's no doubt that they've embarrassed her, they've shamed her. And someone might rightly say, well, if she's guilty of adultery, she should be shamed, she should be put in the midst, she should be judged. But I think when you read the whole story, the Jews are not concerned about this woman, or else they would have the man that was with her there as well. What if this woman had been violated? They were not concerned about the law of God either. Because if they were, they would have done all that the law had stated. So these Jews are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. And how are they hypocrites? And we'll talk more about this in just a moment. They're hypocrites in the sense that they pretend to be so concerned about this woman who is caught in the act of adultery, but yet they've not followed the law themselves as they should have. And yet they are going to question Jesus about the law and what he thinks ought to be done. And they're trying to test him and catch him so they may accuse him. So they have insincere motives in regards to this woman, in regards to the law of God, and in regards to Jesus himself. Do you notice when Jesus said, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her"? Where are the witnesses of this adultery? Now notice that the scribes and the Pharisees came and they brought this woman and they said, "This woman has been caught in adultery, the very act." Well, how do we know that's true? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, makes it very clear about capital punishment. Deuteronomy 17, verses 6 and 7. The law says, on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. Now, this is an interesting law, and it's one that Jesus partially repeats in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. You recall there that Jesus said, if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. And if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. I don't know if you've ever considered the fact that even in the church today, one person's witness against another person to condemn them of sin is not acceptable. Well, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you'll notice in verse 7, the hand of the witnesses shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. Now, what we learn from this text is, the law says that if someone is going to be put to death, there has to be witnesses of the sin. Not just one person, there has to be at least two, best three, that witness this. And then, if this person is judged guilty, then the witnesses must be the first ones to throw a stone. Well, that's interesting. You know, there are lots of people that might make accusations about someone. Well, how do you know? Well, somebody told me, or I heard. Well, even Jesus in Matthew 18 teaches a principle that as Christians, we should be very concerned about one person making a charge. Notice, if you will, back in 1 Timothy chapter 5, just another brief example of how even the new law of Jesus Christ in regards to those who sin should be treated. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19, the text says, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses." Did you notice that? Elders are in a position of authority. They are in a position that they're going to make some enemies. And so, Paul is telling Timothy, don't you receive a charge against an elder just on the mouth of one witness. You don't even listen to that. There has to be more than one witness. Well, what if there are more than one witness? Verse 20 says, those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. I want to suggest to you that when you consider this passage as well, it will help us to understand our reading in John the 8th chapter. As we look a little bit closer, Jesus says, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" "No one, Lord." No witnesses came forward. No one threw a stone. Then Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way from now on and sin no more." Now, at first reading of that passage, it might puzzle us a little bit as to, what did Jesus mean? "Neither do I condemn you." Didn't the Jews say she was caught in the very act? Well, was that true or not? I'd like to suggest to us, first of all, since there were no witnesses coming forward, nor anyone threw a stone, according to the law, the woman should not be stoned. Now think about that. What does the law say? The law says both the man and the woman, and then there has to be at least two or three witnesses, and then the witnesses have to throw the first stone. There were no witnesses. So technically, according to the law of God, Jesus did not condemn her either to be stoned. Why? Because the law was very specific as to when a person could be stoned. And none of these facts had been established with this woman. Now, that might cause you to scratch your head a little bit and say, well, wouldn't Jesus know that whether or not she'd sinned or not? Well, yes, he is God. He did know whether or not she had sinned or not. But again, let me refresh our memory. What was the question that the Jews asked? According to the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone this woman. Well, that's the hypocrisy of the Jews, because they were not following the law as they should have. And we've discussed already where they violated the law of Moses. They didn't bring the other partner in the act of adultery. They didn't bring forth the witnesses, two or three witnesses. Those witnesses were the ones to throw the first stone. So if all of those facts are not there, then what do you do with this woman that is accused? She cannot be stoned. So Jesus says, neither do I condemn you, and I'm suggesting that that was specifically answering the question that the Jews ask. Should we stone her according to the law of Moses? Jesus said, no. However, Jesus did know that the woman had sinned. Did you notice there in the phrase? Sin no more. Well, that's a statement that suggests that she had sinned. If I say to someone, you need to stop drinking, don't be drinking anymore, well, doesn't that mean they have been drinking? The same is true here. Jesus judged the woman righteously, that is, according to the law. But Jesus was also merciful, forgiving to this woman because he knew she had sinned. Well, that's an interesting story, isn't it? What are some lessons we can learn from this? Well, I suggest to you a couple of things here that may be of interest to us. Number one, I think this story is a great example of the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, this is a passage that we've heard many times from our friends, our religious friends. And the text says in Matthew 7, Jesus said, do not judge lest you be judged yourselves. That is, this story in John 8 is a prime example of this very statement. What were the Jews doing? They were judging this woman. How were they judging her? Not of a sincere heart, not according to the law. They were unrighteously judging her. Well, how did the Jews look? They looked like hypocrites. And they were judged accordingly. When Jesus said, any one of you without sin, cast the first stone. Verse 2 says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. I've often wondered, and it's maybe kind of futile thinking, but I've often thought, what if somebody did pick up a stone and threw it at her? Would Jesus have stopped that? Would he have returned the stones on those attempting to stone her? Don't know how that would have worked out. But definitely this text suggests that if you're going to judge others the way these Jews were judging this woman and judging Jesus, you're going to be judged as well. And I think judge there can also be used in the sense of condemned. If you're condemning someone else unfairly, unrighteously, then you will unfairly and unrighteously be judged as well. Verse 3 says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Is that not true of John 8 and the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees? And how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? Do we not see in the text of John 8 that there is someone that has a speck and there is someone that has a log in comparison? But then verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your own brother's eye. You see, even in Matthew 7, the speck is representative of a wrong. No, I don't think it's teaching the idea of little sins and big sins. But what is it suggesting? It is suggesting that you would be a hypocrite if you have a log in your own eye and you're trying to correct someone that has a speck in their eye. Is that not what the scribes and Pharisees were doing in John 8? I think that's the very point Jesus was making. So it's important for us to see that this lesson in John 8 has some great lessons for us to learn. Secondly, I think Jesus cared about the law. He did not violate the law. He did not cast the law aside. After all, he was asked, well, what do you say about the law of Moses? What it was commanded? Well, Jesus did care about the law. And you know, Jesus later makes this very comment in John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, has one who judges him. The word I have spoke is what will judge him in the last day. So when you hear that statement again, that idea of he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Wow, what a powerful statement by Jesus. Did Jesus mean that? Is that a law, a warning, if you will, to all of us and how we treat other people? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus knows all about our sins, public and secret. You see, not only did Jesus know this woman's guilt, but he also knew the scribes and the Pharisees' guilt. And he also knows ours. Jesus will judge each of us personally. But when you read John 8, I know that this woman is guilty of adultery. But did you notice how Jesus talked to her versus how the Jews talked about her? The Jews talked about her. Jesus talked to her. I think that's very common with most of us. We're much more willing to talk about people than we are to talk to people. Maybe we could learn a lesson about that from this story. Jesus talked directly to her, and was he not compassionate to her? Was he not truthful with her? Yes, he said, go and sin no more. But notice the way he said it. Notice that it was personal. Notice that Jesus is merciful and forgiving. Well, I hope you will study this story some more and consider the fact that Jesus, indeed, he cares about the law. So we too might have a question about the law at some point. And we might question someone. And the reason we're questioning them is that we're trying to catch them in something. We're trying to show them up. We're trying to accuse them, if you will. And our motives are not right by challenging them as to what the law says. Please understand that Jesus Christ, our great judge, he'd been there and done that. He recognizes when people do that sort of thing. And we won't get away with it either, just as these scribes and Pharisees did not get away with it. Well, keep studying your Bibles and looking at these stories and try to glean all you can from the Word of God, because it is the truth that will set us free. There might be one that needs to obey the gospel, and for those here at this location, even in the parking lot, if there is one who needs to be baptized into Jesus Christ, the baptistry is still filled, there are clothes available, we'll mask up, and you come in and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll baptize you into Christ. And whether there's a pandemic or not, Jesus Christ will forgive your sins through His blood. If you need the prayers of the brethren, let that be known, and we'll pray with you and pray for you. It's indeed a blessing that we have this, the first day of the week. We have the opportunity to worship God. We have an opportunity to remember Jesus and the death that He gave. And we have the opportunity to be obedient to Him. Don't allow anything to keep you from doing His will today. Randy's going to come now and lead us in the song, The Great Physician. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we sing together.